Welcome to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz. Dr. Teplitz is an attorney and he has a PhD in holistic health sciences. He is a pioneer in stress management and wellness. He has written 8 books and his 2 latest are Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change, and the #1 Amazon bestseller, Switched on Selling, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success. And now, here's Dr. Jerry Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. The reason I look at Healthy Alternatives for you and with you is to see what you can do to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. Why do you want to focus in on that? Well, several years ago, the Journal of the American Medical Association reported that 106,000 Americans were dying every year from the side effects of the prescription drugs that they were taking. Over 10 years, you're talking about 1 million people, and that doesn't even count all the people that are harmed, that are suffering side effects from taking these drugs. We're talking about a dangerous situation because not a single one of those 106,000 people knew that the very next pill that they took was literally going to be their last. What you can do from a healthy alternative standpoint, the more you can do to reduce down your drugs to the bare minimum that you have to take in certain situations that they may be absolutely necessary, the better off you're going to be. We're going to be looking at on today's show is talking to a medical doctor about looking at burnout, work-life balance, and ways that you can increase your energy for yourself every day. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe or go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. In this segment, I like to talk about breakthrough alternatives. It's information that's out there that can really help you reach healthy alternatives. And a piece I want to talk about today relates to diabetes. It's becoming an epidemic in this country. And there was a study that had been published in the journal Diabetes Care that took a look at the benefits of vitamin E and a beta-carotenoid called beta-cryto-X-thin and what its impact had on type 2 diabetes. In the study, there were 4,300 men and women who were free of diabetes at the beginning of the study. The researchers then did an analysis of their diet and found that those consuming the highest amounts of E were 31% likely to develop diabetes, and those taking beta-cryptoxanthin also reduced their risk by 42%. So 31% less likely for the E, 42% for the beta-cryptoxanthin. What does that mean? That means if you want to look at including vitamin E in your diet, how much is safe? Well, the Institute of Medicine and the federal government now agree that you can take levels as high as 1,600 IUs. IU is the way they measure vitamin E in its natural form. How do you find out if vitamin E is in its natural form? You look at the label, and it will say D has a dash, and then it has alpha-toperol, it'll say after that. The D followed by the dash means it is natural. If it said DL dash alpha-toperol, then it means it's synthetic. So you can take anywhere from 400 to 800 IUs a day of the D alpha-toperol, and you will be perfectly fine. Before I introduce my guest to you now, I'd like to tell you about one of my new books, Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. What I like to do is read reviews from other people so it's not me talking about it, but let you hear what other folks have said about it. And this was posted on Amazon by CHF Chillen Hill is the person who wrote this one. Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times is filled with practical methods for dealing with stress and reducing the effects that prolonged exposure to stress can have on the body and the mind. Right from the start, it is obvious that Dr. Teplitz has conducted extensive research into the subject of stress. The past year has been difficult on many levels for me and my family. I have gained over 30 pounds and mostly stopped sleeping through the night. I have had this book for several weeks now and have chosen to use the breathing, some of the shiatsu massage, yoga, and meditation techniques in the book, in addition to increasing my physical activity to address my stress. It's also amazing how quickly my outlook, general attitude, and sleep have improved. And CFH highly recommends the book. To find more out about getting the book, you can go to teplitz.com. You can also get the book on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles. So I'd like to introduce you to my guest now, Dr. Gabby Cora. She's a medical doctor and board-certified psychiatrist with a master's in business administration, a very interesting combination for a doc. She works with people and companies that want to be healthy while they become wealthy. She's been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, Lifetime, The New York Times, Smart Money, and she's author of a recently released book, Leading Under Pressure, Strategies to Avoid Burnout, Increase Energy, and Improve Your Well-Being. And I've known Gabby for many years, and I'm delighted to have you on the show, Gabby.
Thank you, Jerry. It's wonderful to be on your show today.
So let's start out, because in terms of your book, what led you to write this book in the first place, Leading Under Pressure, Strategies to Avoid Burnout, Increase Energy, and Improve Your Well-Being?
Well, years ago, I was seeing many executives who were coming in to see me as a psychiatrist, as a doctor. And although many of them were very wealthy and had done very well from a success perspective, they were still dealing with a lot of depression, anxiety, and medical conditions that related to stress. So many of them were not able to enjoy their accumulated wealth. And looking more into their needs, I realized that the healthcare focus was not really tending to their problems. And on the other hand, the business focus was not tending to their problems either. So I first thought that it would be great to be able to combine successful strategies in both health and wealth and just integrate them in such a way that people could continue to perform at their very best and to produce, you know, on a very, very high level while being healthy and well. That's how the whole concept came to existence. And this book that has just been released by Career Press in September of 2010 is one of the latest steps of putting it all together to help people bring that together, health and wealth.
I just saw an interesting study, and you may have seen it too, which said we need about $75,000 to kind of feel happy. And above that, more money doesn't necessarily add to that. So that it sounds like what you're saying is just because you're wealthy doesn't mean you have that level of happiness and enjoyment that you think you would have, especially if you don't have that kind of money.
You're so right. And, you know, many times we get started in our careers, in our professions, in our business because we want to give better opportunities to our families, maybe better opportunities than the ones that we may have had as we were growing up. However, what usually also happens is as people become more and more successful, whether it is that they are entrepreneurs or business owners, or even if they work for corporate America or other companies, as people start to get busier and busier, sometimes that perspective of what really fuels their energy to continue to strive to and thrive is like an issue about realigning what they really truly value for themselves and their families and how to manifest that in the outside world. So there's a bit of a disconnect at times, and that's what I think is part of the source of people being able to become very successful, but then realize that something is missing as they continue to achieve. And it may be because their source of energy, if it's that fuel from being around family and friends, starts coming down as they get busier and busier in their hectic lives.
Would you say that that would tend to be leading to burnout for them if they don't get it corrected at some point?
Absolutely. What happens is that over time, if they continue to try to increase their output without having the right input in terms of that fuel of energy, something has to give. And initially, what you can see is people start just becoming very stressed out. Those are the words that they would use. I'm so stressed out. And then they may start having some medical issues that may relate to that stress. So, for example, it could be having higher blood pressure that's not now becoming stable. It could be diabetes that had been stable is now unstable. It could be having more migraine headaches. It could be having more back pain. It could be being more anxious. And as this starts increasing, if people don't realize that something is going on and they do need to watch out to continue to be healthy as they continue to work hard, that's when people will start burning out. Unfortunately, many people realize about the burnout once they're burnt out. So what's important is to try to figure that out as early as possible so people can restructure, rethink their lifestyle and continue to be healthy while they continue to become wealthy.
Because if they don't figure it out early on, then you're potentially dealing with much, much serious problems that could have been averted, from taking real preventative type measures and a real holistic approach to getting them back being where they want to be.
Absolutely. That preventive part, just focusing on being healthy on an everyday basis, is what will allow us to be resilient when crisis strikes. It is going to be very difficult for us to be at the top of our game if something bad really happens, if we don't have the structure and the discipline to be very healthy on a regular basis.
So we've now been through a recession and a slow recovery that's still happening, and the question really is, are you seeing more burnout coming at these levels and more stress coming hitting these folks?
There's so much stress these days. We even have kids coming back from school and telling their parents, "I'm so stressed out today." I don't think kids would have come home 20, 30, 40 years ago and told their parents that they were very stressed out. There is an increase of a level of responsibilities and demands that continues to increase at each and every level, starting from school. With a recession, what's happened is this has been accentuated. So we continue to have increased levels of stress, and it's unremitting. Although many people will, hopefully think that the recession is over, if you look at the trend, it's still here, and it may still stay for a few more years. So it will be very important that we stay at our very, very best to continue to be resilient and to survive these difficult times. The other thing that's happening is, as people worry about their jobs, people may be taking more jobs to continue to live the same lifestyle, but it's become very difficult for many people who are doing the work of two or three people at the same job if there have been layoffs. So it's become increasingly stressful for many people to continue with their same lifestyles. Many people have lost their previous lifestyles, and they're reaccommodating to their new life situation, and that adds stress to the equation. And even more stress added to the fact that, you know, many of us have been very blessed to be able to offer our children a better lifestyle than the lifestyle we may have had as kids. So this new generation of kids is more used to being very affluent. They asked for, you know, whatever gadget, and they used to get it. So parents who have been used to providing for anything that their kids have asked for and who now cannot continue to do this will feel a lot of additional pressure.
Let's focus in on the kids for a second, because one of the things for listeners to know what Gabby is doing with her new book, Leading Under Pressure, that we're talking about, she's going to actually donate 100% of her book royalties to causes that promote kids' health and wellness. So that's really her focus on helping in that situation. One of the things, and I'd like your opinion on this, because one of the things that I think is causing stress for kids in school is the elimination of both recess and gym. Because some of the research I've seen has kids actually learning better, performing better when they have those two elements in their daily activities. Is that what you've also seen from your research out there and experience?
I couldn't agree with you more. It's such a pity that people will focus more on trying to maximize their academic performance instead of giving the kids a break. And that break signifies a break in their mind function so that they can refresh their brains and then continue to perform on an even higher level. We now know that kids who are able to exercise and get all of that energy out are going to perform much better on academics anyways. We also know that kids who are exposed to music will do better in math tests without being tested on math itself, or without being coached on math alone, but just by exposing them to music. So what's happening is the misnotion that kids are going to perform on a higher level out of just being busier academically is really off. The consequences of that also include kids who could be doing perfectly okay. There's so much pressure there too, that you have a lot of pressure on parents to have super kids. What this means is many parents and teachers will push for the kids to even not only be coached for doing better academically, which would be fine and it would be okay if they were very involved in gym, for example, but will also be pushed to start medications for so that they can do better academically. So you may have an overprescription at times of medications for attention deficit disorder, and sometimes, I'm not saying that always, but many times, these prescriptions are given so that the kid, instead of getting a B, will get an A.
You're making some really good points there, Gabby, and what I want to do, though, before, because I want to start looking at things you can do from a natural standpoint as opposed to just prescription drugs, what I want to do is take a short break, because I'd like to remind listeners we're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back to Dr. Gabby Cora in just a moment. What I'd like to do is tell you a story about the impact of the material in my book, Switched On Selling, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success. This is a book that rewires the circuitry of the brain using very simple body movement exercises called brain gyms that were originally developed for children and adults with learning disabilities. A year ago, August, a pest control company in Virginia Beach, the CEO, Kevin Kordick, he put one half of his sales force through this one-day live seminar, which you can now get in book form. Kevin put the mediocre folks in through the class, and one of the things he observed immediately after the class, six of the eight people jumped over his top-tier salespeople and became the new top-tier level. In October, he put the rest of his sales force through the class, and then I spoke to him this past August, so we're talking about middle of the recession he started, and then he had people through the slow recovery. I asked him what happened. He said over this one-year period, his profits have doubled. On two of his high-end product lines, he's the number one distributor in the country, and one of his people went up over 300%. My co-author for that book is Dr. Tony Alessandra. He's a sales guru. He's written 20 books on selling, and he does the technique in each chapter, and I do this brain rewiring concept, a totally unique concept. You can learn more about it by going to teplitz.com. You can also buy the book on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles. So I'm talking today with Dr. Gabby Cara. Gabby is a medical doctor, board-certified psychiatrist with a master's in business administration. She's been interviewed on CNN, Fox, Lifetime, the New York Times, and she's author of a newly released book by Career Press called Leading Your Under Pressure: Strategies to Avoid Burnout, Increase Energy, and Improve Your Well-Being. And before the break, we were talking about the notion of over-prescribing for kids. My experience tends to be with the medical profession now is you go to see a doctor and pretty much the very first thing they do after you've given symptoms and they've taken a look is they reach for the prescription pad as opposed to looking at more natural ways. And Gabby, you've explored both sides. Can you talk about what kind of natural ways people can do to start maximizing their energy without having to take prescription drugs?
You know, this is a million-dollar question, and as much as I have loved my training as a pharmacologist at the National Institutes of Health, and I respect the use of pharmacology a lot when it's needed, but at the same time, you know, I cringe when I see that someone will have received a prescription without being advised to start exercising, to start meditating, or to start including some relaxation techniques if the person has experienced anxiety or panic attacks. I cringe when I see that someone has not been advised as to how helpful and how important sleeping well and that good sleep hygiene is for someone dealing with depression or anxiety to continue to be well. So I love to prescribe, and this is part of my prescription. I will write it on a prescription pad for my patients when I practice, include exercise. It includes eating well and healthy. It includes relaxing on a regular basis and finding other strategies around that relaxation part and sleep hygiene. So the lifestyle piece becomes a part of my prescriptive formula even before I venture into the medication part. But to your point, it's unfortunate. There's such little time in the more traditional healthcare arena these days that people have very few minutes with a practitioner, and many practitioners feel like the only thing they can do is prescribe medications.
And that's in effect why I'm doing the show Healthy Alternatives, because we need to know about what we can do for ourselves at this point in time. And one of the things that goes on from a drug prescription standpoint, as people, for example, age, they get more and more prescriptions given to them, and nobody's ever done research on putting together 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 drugs, what all the side effects are. As a matter of fact, lots of times, as you know, Gabby, they start prescribing to take care of some of the side effects from another drug, which gives them more side effects. So it, to me, it's a vicious cycle that what you're talking about now becomes so important. Now, is there a time, though, when you think medications and drugs are appropriate?
You know, absolutely. And that's the part where I'm not 100% reluctant to prescribing. I'm just, you know, very thoughtful about when is the right time. One of the most important things is to see if the level of severity is moderate to severe. And so my formula includes a combination of the lifestyle strategies that will help us to be very preventive along the way with whatever needs to be prescribed at the time. In my from my perspective, from my point of view, in psychiatry in particular, I don't feel that there is a need of just medications without supporting therapy. And that supporting therapy may be of a supportive style. It could be of a cognitive behavioral style. It could be something that supports the medication. The medication alone, in my this is the way that, in my opinion, does not do major things. It does help particularly with moderate to severe issues. If someone has an infection, you would not think twice about treating a kid with meningitis. You know, you would not think twice about giving them the right antibiotics and save their lives, in my opinion. But at the same time, the easy fix, you know, the way that our culture pushes for that easy fix becomes a huge pressure. And that's where you see, you know, as I was mentioning before about the use of some of the stimulants for kids, you also have adults who will use those same stimulants to work more with less. So you will have some adults who have already been working 12-hour days. They now want to work 16-hour days, so they will try amphetamines. You will have some adults who are doing business with China or with India, so they will try to stay a couple of nights awake, and they will use stimulants to be able to do that. So there's a lot of this pressure, and that's what leads some people to try those medications. In my opinion, those medications should not be necessarily prescribed for someone who wants to do more work, because they may actually need to get a right hand to help them out in developing that business. In the long run, what I've seen is overusing medications when they're not necessarily medically necessary may take a toll on the individual and their family and their work and everyone who's around them too.
One of the things that I personally have seen, and I, for the listeners, I meditate twice a day. I'm getting close to 40 years of doing it. And one of the ways I've actually used meditation is when I'm traveling internationally, I normally do 2 meditations in a day, and I'll add another several meditations when I'm traveling long distances, either coast to coast, or I actually have gone from here to Australia with no jet lag, because of adding meditations, because it lets your body clock set so very quickly. So the notion of, instead of taking uppers, I just close my eyes. It's a lot cheaper, too.
You're so right, and you know that works. You can also work with light at the same time, which is another natural way of playing with that light circadian cycle. But to your point, you've been meditating for 40 years. You're excellent in that practice. In my practice, to the surprise of many of my colleagues, I added hypnosis and teaching people how to meditate and or how to go through progressive relaxation techniques, or how to use music as an upper, for example, in the morning, selecting your favorite music and just listening to that when you need to get started in the day, particularly if you feel that you have more of a low. You can play with your favorite music in the morning or at night if you need to relax and have a smooth time to go to bed. There's so many other ways that are so helpful and so healthy that we can also practice on a daily basis that it's striking to see the difference. And oftentimes, you know, from my perspective, I take some mea culpa because I realize that within the physician community, because of a combination of healthcare pressures, for doctors to see very few patients, many patients, but with very little time, many feel like they've been forced to just be on the fixing mode rather than helping people help themselves over time. So, for example, in my case, I don't do, you know, medication therapy alone. If anything, I put it all together. I do a combination of therapy with lifestyle strategies and medication therapy evaluation if we need to try to figure out the pros and cons of that. But I wouldn't be able to do the 5 or 10 minute medication check because of my style of practicing. Although most of medicine, particularly in psychiatry, is going that route. There's only 10% of practicing psychiatrists who include therapy in their practices. The 90% offer mostly medication therapy.
Hopefully, there is a group called the American Holistic Medical Association, and hopefully their membership has been growing with more people having an awareness of what's going on. So I'd like to thank you, Gabby, for being on the show today. And for those who would like to learn more about what Dr. Gabby Cora does, find out about her latest book, Leading Under Pressure, Strategies to Avoid Burnout, Increase Energy, and Improve Your Well-Being, you can go to her website at Dr. Gabby, G-A-B-Y, Cora, C-O-R-A, .com, Dr. Gabby Cora. Gabby, thank you for being a guest this week.
Jerry, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. My guest next week on the show will be Matthew Cossoletto. Matthew is an author. He's a CEO-level speechwriter. He's worked for 8 years on Capitol Hill. He's worked for a congressman who's now director of the CIA, Leon Panetta. And he created the first annual Make a Promise Day, and he's now working on his new book, The Power of Making a Promise, with his foreword by Jack Canfield, who is co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul book series. We're going to be looking at making a promise and its impact on creating a healthy alternative for you. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com or follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Look forward to your tuning in.